Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we are back. You probably didn't ask for it, but we did it anyway. We decided to come back and tell you more about this weekend's box office. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. This, as always, is a show where we look back at the box office that was. And then we'd like to...
Oh, wait, we're going to let her say it. Oh, gosh, no. No, you finish it.
You get to say it. You're the special guest today.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready for this challenge yet.
Okay, all right, no worries. Okay. We don't want to throw that out there. We like to prognosticate about the box office that lie ahead.
So we have a little thing.
Well, we said it for a long time, and then Neil did it with the digital voice, so I was giving you a chance to say it out loud.
Just try it. Try it.
Prognosticate.
Yay! Love it. Look at that. It wasn't so hard, was it? I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
And hey, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Box Office Breakdown panel, Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV. I am Amy Cassandra. And it is such an honor to be here with you guys. I told them that when I sat down, I was a little bit starstruck because it's so weird to be on this side with you guys as opposed to watching it, you know, on the screen. It's slightly different.
That's... That makes me uncomfortable. Just do everything the opposite of me and you'll go far.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
And always, the man with the plan, the person that makes it sound so great... And look so great during the course of the show. Mm-hmm. In the booth, Neil Plumley.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
The freshly married Neil Plumley.
Oh, yay. Yeah, I'm a mister now.
Yeah. That's right. There you go.
Who looked very sharp in his suit.
Yes.
Oh, I did. I'll be the first to admit it. That was the best day ever. But I am glad to be back here with you guys. You can find me on Twitter and actually anywhere at the Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. Find me and let's chat about stuff.
And I think if you look, you might find, I think, maybe one photo from the wedding day. You might be able to find one.
Maybe.
But it's, you know, you blink and you miss it there on the social media. So
I like them. They're here, then they're gone.
My favorite was a couple photos where he gets to see his bride the first time. That was cute.
Look at that. Yes.
Oh, it was instant waterfall.
Aww.
It was like the minute I turned around, I just couldn't even hold it together.
The part that I thought was so interesting is that she looks very far away from you right from the beginning of that. There's like
I thought they were like
so much potential for like potential pitfalls during that, like tripping, somebody kind of just running through the scene, something like that. But you guys pulled it off.
Yeah, it feels good.
Right now, thank you. There you go. And as always, folks, you know what? You can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and as always, you know. Oh yes.
Wait, lean, go forward, so you're getting a shot.
That's right.
More.
And yay! If you're there, you're there. Look at that. You can give us not just one thumb, but give us 2 thumbs. You can go there and give us multiple thumbs. Do as many thumbs as you can possibly get happening on that. And you know what? We're going to pull the chat up so you folks can hop in the chat.
Yes.
Share your thoughts about this weekend's box office. Share your thoughts about any movies that may have came out while we were on our little hiatus. We'll share some films that we saw over the hiatus as well. Mm-hmm. We'll get to know Amy. We'll talk about some movies. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, so why even wait? Why don't we just get started?
Yes.
This weekend, we had, coming off number one, The Hitman's Bodyguard, Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson, came out from Lionsgate. It made $21.6 million. I felt like I was interested in wanting to check this out, and yet I heard the reviews for it are not very favorable.
I saw a longer and different version of the trailer when I saw Atomic Blonde, and I was more interested because they told you a little bit more of the plot that I was interested before. I like Ryan Reynolds, so I watch any movie he's in.
Oh, Amy, a big Ryan Reynolds fan.
Yeah, I am.
Check.
Are you a shirtless Ryan Reynolds or just a Ryan Reynolds in general?
Just in general.
Yeah?
Yeah, back in Definitely Maybe.
All right.
That's wow. Yeah. Just Friends.
Hey, so more of the rom-com-y. Oh, okay.
But Deadpool too.
All right.
What was the one he was in? I'll think of it as What's Your Number? I think it was
with Anna Faris?
Yes.
Mm. I didn't see it.
Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
It was actually really funny.
Yeah? I don't know. I feel like I like my Ryan Reynolds. Well, I don't know. I mean, he was good in Van Wilder, but I feel like yeah.
Okay.
Come on, two guys are growing a pizza place.
That's right. Blade 3.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, actually, I thought he was much more fun to watch than Wesley Snipes was. That was...
Fair enough.
You feel like just Wesley Snipes was just checking out as you watched that film. Oh, look at this. And we've got...
I like my Ryan Reynolds in Just Friends. That opening scene gets me every single time.
Do you want to sing the song?
And wait, which one?
Swear.
Just Friends.
By the moon.
Oh, Just Friends was really good, too.
Look at that. Sarah Brock throws out there that, Frank, you can't throw multiple, you can't do multiple thumbs on YouTube. Of course not, but, you know, just go through all our various back catalog and just throw a thumbs up on all of those.
Just make multiple accounts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Sarah, if you
it's
really
super
love those.
Easy. Just make a Gmail account.
I have more than one YouTube account. So you know. Actually, anytime you have a Gmail account, you automatically have a YouTube account, too.
Oh, all right. Well, then why aren't you liking us on off your other account?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I switch between.
That's commitment right there.
That's right.
Well, because my main ones I use, I have like a personal one that's like more random videos, and then one that's more like the professional one that's more put together videos.
Same here. Yeah.
Oh, and look at this. We got some familiar faces back there in the chat. Star Drew, Albin, Sarah Brock, as I mentioned before. Look at this. It's like, you know, just old friends
week. We missed you all.
That's right. Coming in number two, we've got Annabelle Creation, coming out from Warner Brothers and New Line. $15.5 million. Dropped down 55.7% from the week before. Mm-hmm. Now, Amy, you've seen this film.
I have.
And did you enjoy it?
I did. I watched it today. Earlier in the day, so it was cheaper. It was nice.
Nice.
It's a little bit of a slow start, but the last act is the best. It ends not as strong as you'd hope for, but it certainly is worth the watch because I know some people were a little bit hesitant about going and actually watching it. But if you like a little scare, go ahead and treat yourself to the movies. You will like it. I definitely do recommend it. It's worth it.
Did you see the first one?
Yes. It's Conjuring.
Is it better? Because I had someone say they like this one better than the first one.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't, but I did appreciate the acting from everyone. Mm-hmm. The young girls in the cast, they were awesome. Good job, ladies. But yeah, I mean, it was nice. There were a few times where I did get really scared. My hands started getting clammy in movie theater. Yeah. So, it's worth it. And especially because now, even here in Southern California, it's starting to get a little bit chilly. So, I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to think about Halloween.
Yes.
So, all the scary movies.
Dude, July, I'm already like, is it Halloween yet?
Yeah. So, it's a perfect way to start off the fall season, I would say. Yeah.
Now, since it's more the origin story for Annabelle.
Yeah.
Do you want to see origin stories for your monsters? Or rather, they just exist and that you're fine with that?
Well, it doesn't hurt. I say, especially because the girl that plays Annabelle is rather terrifying.
Okay.
So she does a really good job. And, I mean, it gives you more backstory. And if you can get extra scares out of it, then, yeah. I say go for it.
Maybe. It depends on how good of a backstory they give it. Unless they're just like, this just happened. You're like, no, I want to know more information. You know, like, I think some backstory ones are a little weaker plot. They just kind of like, ooh, this is what happened. You're like, are you sure? Or other ones where they really do in depth and you're like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, I always feel like that with the origin stories, you really got to nail it.
Yes.
Because otherwise, if you stumble and fall, then you've really taken this like really cool entity that you've created and you've kind of diminished it with a terrible origin. Yes. You're like, oh, that's it? Great.
Someone in the chat thinks you're cute.
Hi. Thank you. You guys are so sweet.
Oh, look at that.
It's 90 out here in Chicago. Oof. Alvin, what? I don't even know how hot it was here today. I've been in here most of the
low 80s in the later afternoon, but it was cool. Like, you wanted a hoodie or at least something right before this.
It's definitely hotter in the studio.
Yeah, the studio's a little stuffy.
It's toasty. Yes. For sure.
Yes, we're kind of running sans AC right now. That's right. She's just heating this room up.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
It feels good here from the booth, Frank.
Thanks, Chili Willy. That's great. How dare you. Coming in number three is a film that I'm curious about seeing, only because Daniel Craig, just his character performance in there just seems really kind of oddball from the little clips that I've seen here. From Steven Soderbergh, Logan Lucky made $8 million, a little over $8 million dollars this week.
And I didn't know much about it, but I kept seeing billboards for it in London. And I was like, that looks cool. And then I'm like, well, the problem is I noticed over there, like, the timeline of when things came out. I was like, wait, isn't this already out back home? Or is this, like, coming out later? So then I got a little confused of when movies were coming out.
True. Certainly, for a lot of international release dates, I mean, it's certainly gotten better now for a lot of the big tentpole pictures right. that they're all yes. day and date release internationally. But a lot of them are, smaller films are staggered throughout there. So, yeah. It's, I worked on a behind the scenes show. And so a lot of the stuff that we do for international was always a lot different for domestic. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we'd be doing 3 or 4 months later, then we'd be doing a film that had came out, you know, during the summer. You're like, oh, all right. Yeah. Good deal. But that was the kind of the process for that.
Channing Tatum is in Logan Lucky.
Yes.
So ladies, I haven't seen it yet, but I just got the movie pass.
There you go. Yeah.
Where, so you can watch as many movies as you'd like. You only pay $10 a month, and it's a fantastic thing. I haven't used it yet. It hasn't come in the mail yet, but you can only watch one a day.
That's fine.
So that's okay. You can watch.
Wink.
and then you have to actually go in person and buy the ticket. So I mean, there's a few downfalls, but let's get real. That's not that bad. So ladies, if you do like Channing Tatum, maybe we can all watch.
Guessing
it.
You're a fan.
I am a fan.
Are you excited for Kingsman 2?
Oh,
yeah,
I am just for that one.
Yeah. Gosh, I love movies. I would live at the movie theater if it was socially acceptable.
It is. Wait, what, sure. Maybe you need to lead the charge in that.
Oh, I like this. Alvin says, as people call him, Channing Tate, yum.
I'm with you, Alvin. That's right. Delicious.
Woo, that was good.
There you go. And Sarah Brock, just ladies, I'm sure if Sky Patterson was here, he would be cool with Channing Tatum.
You know, like, there's certain dudes, though, that regardless of which way you lean of what you prefer, you can still admire them as an impressive human being of...
No, I
like
for
that.
Sure.
That is very true.
You know, like, I know plenty of guys like Ryan Reynolds, they'd be like, you know, they're straight, but they're still like, I really like him, they'd watch it. Because there's also then there's the other way where it's like, you'd want to be them, you know, like, anyway.
Yeah.
But still, as much as I enjoy Channing Tatum, and not that I hate it, no, the movie's not that great, but Jupiter Ascending.
Did you like Jupiter Ascending?
I haven't. It was so bad.
No, it's so fun. Go watch it.
Now
let me know.
Okay. Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of cheesy sci-fi, but that's why it's awesome.
Well, cheesy is always good.
If you're listening, I made a face at Neil through the camera.
I love dogs. I've always loved dogs.
Well, Eddie Redmayne, just like his like kind of whisper. Threatening thought.
See, they like are. Movie. But you know what? I've seen some movies now that you like put down so much. I'm like, that was really good.
Really?
I saw Kong Skull Island on the plane flight back, and that was actually pretty cool.
You know, I watched it while I was traveling. I watched it again on the plane. And
was it better the second time?
It was better than when you kind of like diminish the expectations for it.
Wow.
You know, like once you've seen it and you're like, all right, it's not as good as I wanted it to be in my head. And then you just kind of can enjoy it for what it is right there.
I thought it was fun. I was a little bit tired. So if you guys don't know, I went abroad. I went to Germany, Norway, and London and Cardiff, so technically UK as well. And plane rides, you can be either really awake or really tired. And I did watch Kong on the way back when I was a little more tired, but that kept my interest, and I watched it, and I thought it was fun. Like, good monster movie, or giant monster creature movie thing, and so... I recommend it as entertaining. It's definitely not real depth or anything like that, but fun action adventure. It's in the adventure category.
Yeah. I mean, there's still like things that bugged me the first time I saw it still do the second time, but not to such an extent that it's like...
You wouldn't watch it.
Yes.
The way you say that makes me think I was kind of annoyed with Samuel Jackson's characters. Like, I need to kill him. Kill all my men. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but I just didn't believe it.
Well, yeah.
Like, on paper, I get the, yes, he killed your man, but I'm like, but you guys were stupid.
And there,
there's a lot of stupid, like, let's go at the dangerous thing. And you're like, And then somebody made a complaint. They said on something they didn't like how the timeline worked in that movie of, like, we have 24 hours, we have 3 hours. And I didn't really notice that, but I get it when somebody says it after the fact. I'm like, yeah, I guess they kind of were, like, jumping around a little bit, but. Wasn't a problem.
Yeah, and I just felt like because a lot of it is they're trying to search for this missing man who also happens to have all the explosives that they need too as well. And that missing man, his story, I just felt like, what?
It was a little weird.
Yes.
You go,
no spoilers for Amy. I know. We won't spoil that.
It's okay.
Did you see Kong?
Is it bad that I'm trying to remember if I did?
No.
Because I've seen plenty of Kong movies.
But it's the one
where he smashes like a bunch of helicopters.
Yes. Bryan Cranston.
No, that was Godzilla.
Oh, there we go.
Alvin, Samuel Jackson was not believable as a bad guy in the movie, and I still liked it overall. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I didn't love his role, but I still liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming in number four is a film that I did check out during my little time away here, Dunkirk from Christopher Nolan. From Warner Brothers Films, another $6.7 million. Anybody else see Dunkirk?
No.
No, but I love the trailers.
It's beautifully shot.
I went near there, technically. I was on a cruise, and so I think we went by there.
I mean, I know there's not a lot of dialogue in the film, and it is a fractured kind of time storytelling in there. Okay.
Well, that's good. Is that something people should know ahead of time, and it's easier to digest? Because there's some movies where, like, if you know it's out of order, it's a little easier to process.
Yeah, I guess hopefully, I wouldn't spoil for all you guys. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it was an interesting thing when you kind of realize, like, oh yeah, that's what they're doing with it. Oh, okay.
Mm.
Yeah, but there's, yeah, it's, admittedly, I did not realize Tom Hardy's in the film, but I did not realize it was Tom Hardy until all the way to the very end of the film. So I'm like, oh, hey, that was Tom Hardy all along. Oh,
was that
okay.
Good on his part that he was so good?
And he was...
like another person?
Yeah, I mean, because he plays a pilot. Uh-huh. And so he's got, you know, the mask on and the helm and that little their little leather helmet on.
Someone made a joke, it's another movie he has a mask on.
That's true. So it wasn't until the end, even though when he takes like the mask off to talk, I still, maybe just because the hat was on him, I just didn't quite realize it. Alvin has seen Dunkirk. There you go. I love Dunkirk. It's one of my top five favorite films of the year so far from Jonathan Peck. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's my favorite film, but no, I enjoyed it. It's certainly an interesting way of telling a film.
Got it.
So, yeah, it wasn't, I felt like some people were complaining about the lack of character development because there's not a lot of dialogue in the film, but I feel like it's just for a kind of like a slice of that particular moment in time. Mm. That was kind of well done.
Very cool.
Yeah, and the aerial shots are exquisite. My gosh. Mm-hmm. So best aerial dogfighting scenes that I've seen in a long time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it. I just hadn't gone to it.
No, you're busy traveling around the world, Carrie.
But I saw a movie abroad, so.
Yeah, we were going to get into that because she saw it. Carrie and I, even though we weren't talking, she would send me all these fantastic photos of places that she'd been and things
food.
That she'd eaten.
Oh,
yes.
I love food.
Oh, well, you're going to fit right in.
You should check out his Instagram. He posts a lot of food posts. So that's why I was like, here, check out this awesome thing that I'm eating.
Yes, she ate like a champ overseas there. Rounding out, I actually accidentally put top six here because, you know, just getting back into the habit of things. But number five here is The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. Another $5.1 million. I feel like I really lost because I hadn't seen the Nut Job, the first one.
It's cute. Of that, like, kids animated that came out, there's like a few around that time. I felt it was not amazing, but not bad. I just thought it was weird that the second one came out because I feel like it had already come out. So then I was like, wait, this is the second. Or I think maybe it was delayed. That's the thing. Because I think there was I interviewed a voice actor from it. I forget right now which one. But I felt like the movie was already out. Like, wait, this was a while ago. But maybe they pushed back the release date or something.
Because it was so good. They wanted to save it to the end of summer.
The first one, and I think this one has it, they have a pug, and that won me over.
Aww.
It's a pug. It's cute pug.
All right.
See,
there you go.
I feel like they missed a golden opportunity to name it The Nuttier Job.
Ooh.
You know?
Ah.
Two.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's true. As opposed to Nutty by Nature?
Yeah.
Not because I hate you? No? All right.
No. Maybe the next one.
That's true. So that was our top five. I mean, just for those of you keeping track at home, number six was the Emoji Movie, which I had no desire in seeing. Amy?
No, I could. I can't even bear to watch or to look at the billboards with the poo on it.
Just knowing that it's voiced by Patrick Stewart? Sir Patrick
Stewart. That is awesome. Patrick Stewart, that's awesome. But it's poo.
Ew. Yeah, I don't really have any interest. I'm like, no.
All right. For international numbers, though, Universal Pictures crossed the $3 billion mark at the international box office on Friday, marking the second time in the studio's 105-year history that it's reached this milestone. And Wonder Woman crossed the $800 million mark globally for Warner Brothers. So I feel like I doubt we're going to see Justice League do those kind of numbers.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah. So I've seen Wonder Woman, and I liked it. There were a few issues with it that just felt a little bit discombobulated. But I was actually kind of a PA for one of their press junkets that they did here in LA. So I saw Gal and I saw Chris Pine. Gal Gadot.
Did you faint?
Well, at first I saw her and I thought, oh my gosh, it's a Wonder Woman. That's so exciting. But yeah, I mean, funny enough, that day they both had back injuries. So Gal couldn't sit. So she was doing all her interviews standing up. But they were great, super sweet people. And they were there for a long time and didn't complain. And yeah, so of course, like going into the movie, knowing that, it was nice. Yeah.
Did all the reporters interview them? Did they also stand?
Yes, for Gal's interviews. And then when they had both of them, they did. Yeah, everyone stood up.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, it's not that easy because then you have to rearrange everything and people are shorter, people are taller. Mm-hmm. But they made it work and it was a nice experience too. And the way they had set everything up, I mean, all the PAs and producers and everyone with the press junkets, I mean, they did a fantastic job. Yeah.
Press junkets are an interesting thing. Especially, it's great if you're a big outlet because then you get plenty of time. But when you're in the smaller ones, and they give you five, but it's really three because there's a lot of chit-chat and technical stuff at the beginning. You know, it's already by two questions in, you're already getting the rap. You're like, what?
I had one or two questions with an actor for Winona Earp at Comic-Con because they're wrapping it up. Because it always happens, too, if they were late, like anybody late to a press room, then it starts late, then they got to get to something else. And I'm like, okay, just get one question. Yeah. And then you kind of throw in another one if you can. Like if it's short, it depends on how quick their answer is. But this awesome lady did a lot of editing for our Comic-Con videos, too.
That's right. That was fun. That's actually how I met you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it she's done great. A couple of my videos you would have seen on my Periscopes.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Well, yeah, because I was walking around. And
she's
like,
a star.
I was in the zone. Those were very fun days, but they're a little bit of a blur.
They were long. Yeah.
They were very long.
So I think we took our break before Comic-Con. So if you guys are tuning in and didn't know, I did a lot of coverage at Comic-Con. You can check that out on AfterBuzz, Popcorn Talk, and Black Hollywood Live. And she did lots of that editing as well. I don't even know which videos. There's so many. It's a blur.
I have no idea.
And then I didn't see this one.
Carolyn and I did. Our paths did not cross.
No. I was like, come to this party. I'm too busy.
I was so busy, guys. You know.
Hitting all the other parties.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You know? Hitting all those parties. No. Buying way too much stuff that I really don't need.
Yeah.
But I did. So.
Yeah.
So. For some reason, I really got on that, like, the Scotty Young kind of animated versions, or the kid versions of all the superheroes. So, they had, like, a statue run of those, and I bought way too many of those. So.
I was in press rooms all day. Well, which was like, darn, meet our actors and things.
Fine. Someone has to do it.
Yeah.
That's true. Also, what's interesting too here as well internationally is that Paramount's Transformers The Last Night, which is a garbage movie, it has topped $600 million worldwide. I mean, it did terribly domestically, but I mean, certainly at those kind of numbers, at least it'd be curious to see where the Transformers franchise goes from here. Did you see Transformers The Last Night? Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't see that one. It was...
It's awful. It's just awful.
Wait, did you see the one before that?
You know, the last time I remember Transformers was when Shia LaBeouf was in them.
Okay, so you didn't see that one.
Those were nice back then.
Yeah. Well, the one after, it's not horrible, but... Oh. The problem, it definitely makes you not ready to see the next one. I'm like...
Yeah, for sure. But they did break up the writer's room, so who knows what direction
you're going to be
taking. But we have John Cena in the new Bumblebee film taking place in the 80s. So there's that.
Ooh.
Amy's already got her ticket.
I love John Cena.
Really?
Yes.
As an actor or a wrestler? Or both?
Both.
Really?
Both. Surprisingly enough, the first time I saw him acting in a movie was Sisters with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
And it's that one scene where... Tina Fey asks him if he has any kids, and he says, I bet I do, or probably, and I saw that, and I was like, dang, like, that's a cool one, and then after that, wrestling and everything, just like, you're pretty cool, Yeah.
Okay.
John Cena, I'm a fan. Right.
So we already know where Amy's going to be using her movie pass.
Yeah. Yeah. So much to see now.
That's true.
I have a list starting here, guys.
And lastly, for internationally, Despicable Me franchise has now inched past the Ice Age franchise to become the highest grossing animated film franchise of all time at the international box office.
Aww. Wow. I like the Ice Age franchise. Well, I only think I saw the first one. No, the first one was so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
No. Yeah.
No. Yes. Come on. Yes. Yeah. The first one was good.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Thank you, Neil.
Three against one.
Yep.
Yeah.
No. It was fun. Yeah.
Second one.
It was fun, Frank.
Yeah. Hey, Ray Romano and Dennis Leary. Blah. Okay.
I think I even saw it in like the third, but then I didn't see the one after that. Oh, there's like four or five.
There's like five. And, yeah. Oh, boy.
So that's when it's like, no. But like definitely the first one, so fun. Second one was still pretty good. And I think the third I remember liking.
No, thank you.
The
no,
first
didn't float your
no, yeah. no, yeah. no, 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 yeah. that or like Land Before Time. Nope, no,
sure. Don't like the Land Before Time.
I'll take a pass.
I'm good, guys.
Not even the first one.
You know, and then,
I can't even believe what I'm hearing right now. I'm aghast. I am in the booth just beside myself. Listening to these words.
No.
Albin understands where I'm coming from. The first one was like, passable.
Yeah, Sarah Frank eats a lot of food, but is allergic to fun.
That's true. I do break out on hives at fun things. Yep. I get all itchy and scratchy and very uncomfortable.
Yeah, Land Before Time, the first one's amazing. And then, like, yes. I think even that one, the second, I remember, then maybe even third, and then they made too many after that.
Childhood right there.
Yes.
I'm dead inside, guys. I'm dead inside. Forget it.
Let's get the life defibrillator.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this would be a time where I tell you about all the great films coming out next weekend that we're going to be able to chance to do the box office bet on. Amy, are you excited to be involved in a box office bet?
Yes, but I'm not that good with the numbers.
That's perfect. You're going to fit in just fine.
I'm really glad she's here, Courtney, you know, for one.
Courtney, how can I not like The Land Before Time? Very easy. I could watch it and then they just go like this.
No.
That's how
easy
it is.
He's shaking his head if you guys are just listening.
Yeah. We've got three films. I feel like I want to discount All Saints only because that is a film that's coming up, but it's only at 800 theaters.
Ooh, yeah. That's
going to be a little, that's going to be a rough one here. I feel like I want to just narrow it down to Birth of the Dragon and Leap. Birth of the Dragon there from kind of telling the story about Bruce Lee. And his desire to be able to teach his way, his kind of martial arts philosophy. So his struggle and journey to be able to teach his way. And then Leap, an animated film from the Weinstein Company, opening up in 2,000 theaters and 1,500 for Birth of the Dragon. So I feel like those are the two I'm gonna consider for our box office bet. So go ahead and give that. You know, feel free to start chiming away in the chat.
Please.
Alvin's excited about this weekend. what a crap fest for a weekend. Absolutely. This is like the dog days of late summer and beginning of fall. Oof. It's going to be rough.
It means we got to catch up on stuff.
Yeah. Let's fast forward a few weeks until we get to late September, early October.
Oh, my gosh.
Amy's excited. I
know. The previews before Annabelle, some of them, it's just like, yes. I'm so excited.
Oh, all right. So in lieu of like looking back as somebody, a little box office rewind of somebody's performances that's starring in this week's upcoming films, I thought we'd do a little catch up with Carrie about her trip and what she'd seen. And then we'll touch base with Amy to find out, you know, let's get a sense of her style or sensibilities when it comes to movies. Amy's second. They're just start thinking about like the films that you kind of enjoy.
We'll start thinking.
Life and every
top five favorite movies.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
And no particular order.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Super easy. Just your top five.
Yeah.
Well, we're giving her a minute. Well, because the problem is people are like, what's your favorite movie? And I hate that. I'm like, can I do like a top five? Because even top three
that's
is
what
a little.
There you go.
And this list we will hold you to forever. So you can never discount
it. Never change it.
You can adjust your list. Okay.
So Carrie Lane traveled the world during our hiatus there. She did some Comic-Con, then she just jetted off.
Yes.
Tell us about some of your adventures there.
Yeah. Fast forward a little bit. I did just rewatch Kingsman, which made me super excited even more for the next one.
Yes.
Because my friend hadn't seen it. I'm like, we need to rewatch it. Because I'm like, you haven't seen Kingsman yet? And then she was so cute because there's something that happens in the first one. She's like, wait, no, huh? I'm like, did you see the trailer for a second one yet? Don't worry. And then she watched it and then she goes, oh, okay. And if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Which that excites me tremendously because if he hadn't been back, then I'd be like,
Yeah. I flew to Germany and went to Hamburg and Berlin for a few days and then went on a 10-day cruise to Norway and then went to London for 6 days. and then Cardiff one day. And that's where I got my Doctor Who t-shirt from the Doctor Who Experience.
Very cool. No.
It's so fun. If you get a chance, if you can go over there, or if you're going that way, definitely make the trip over to Doctor Who Experience. It is a installation where they have props, costumes, like creature outfits from the show, either the actual ones or replicas, because either it's been damaged because they have some of the really old ones as well, or you know, it's on loan so they don't have the real thing, but still they have a lot. Like, there's this great setup where it's all the Doctor's outfits.
Oh, cool.
Like, they have this long display, and I did like a panoramic photo with my phone, which phones are awesome of taking cameras, because I take lots of photos. I'll post stuff later, and but yeah, I just was happy to get all that in it. And then you do like an experience where you're helping the Doctor on like an adventure, which is really fun. And it's like a little cheesy, but that's why it was so much fun.
Which Doctor?
Capaldi.
Oh, cool.
And the idea is like the TARDIS gets attacked, which it's actually on this shirt. There's like these monsters attacking it. And you have to go find these crystals to help. I don't remember right now, but you have to go through different areas, and so I got to help grab one of the crystals, and so you like get like people involved, and I mean generally it's like little kids too, but then I totally was like, I want to do it. Like, yes, me please.
Are you like, is it
you're
like
walking through areas that are okay, interactive and move, like you get to go on the TARDIS and like the floor moves a little bit, or like there's sounds. You wear like a necklace that is so you can travel with the TARDIS, and it like vibrates and lights up.
How accurate does the TARDIS set look compared to what you see in the show? Pretty spot on?
The one there is great. And then they actually have one of the sets there, too. So they have set pieces, which is great. There's a lot of outside TARDISes, like, you know, the outside of it. But the thing I was pushing on is it's not going to be there forever. It's, like, closing in the next few months. And then they're done. So either I had heard it was, like, the lease on the place is ending, and so they didn't renew it. So if anybody's a huge Doctor Who fan, you got to make your pilgrimage now.
Great. Now you tell me, Carrie.
I know, right? I know. Well, even the gift shop was starting to like thin out on what stuff they had.
Oh, really?
Because it's like the end of a run, yeah. So they're not resupplying. Oh, so I made sure to get any of the experience.
No, that's cool. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have wanted one, Carrie.
Well, you didn't ask me.
You didn't tell me you were going. Dang
like,
it.
Damn. But either way, back in Norway, though, I had some free time. We definitely a lot of scenic stuff. Norway is absolutely gorgeous if you get a chance to go there. Very beautiful country, and a lot of spots where you can go up to like a high area and look out over the area. If that makes sense. Of either there's a spot where you I think it was 144 steps all the way up to the top, and then you got to look out over the water and the town. Got to go in the fjords. And I rode one of the, they call them rib boats. So it's like the little boat that bounces around on the water, which was really fun. But in Norway, we had some free time. It's like, okay, let's go to a movie. And so I sent Frank some photos from that. And so they call it their like brand of theater is called the Kino, K-I-N-O. And this theater, let me tell you, it looked like a mansion on the outside. I'll probably do a post on Twitter. And you walk up, you're like, this is great. Go inside, lobby's huge. And did I send you the concession area photo? I think so. I did. Huge selection of food and candy. The popcorn is in like all pre-made and in like cupboards, see-through ones that you can pick out, grab your popcorn. And theaters are real nice. And in the theaters, it's assigned seats. They have free coffee and tea.
I was going to ask, do they have tea?
They have free coffee and tea in Norway. Well, in Norway.
What was the most unusual kind of snack item that you saw in Norway compared to what we have here?
I'm going to have to think about that. I bought random energy drinks because if you guys follow me on Instagram, I do energy drinks. So if I found a new one, I bought a lot of them. they had little candies in like, so there was the coffee and the tea and like napkins inside your own theater, totally free, which I was like, we don't do that here. I wish we did. And then they had like a little bin of candy that you could take that was chocolate with like flavor or whatever, and I was like, and there's free candy too? This is amazing.
Wow.
Now the even better part. So I'm leaving the theater and I'm just like, I saw Valerian, by the way, which I did enjoy. Frank's like, Don't see it. It was so fun. If you're a fan of Luc Besson films, it's really good. It is definitely not up to the Fifth Element standard. Fifth Element's one of my favorites, so I'm like, no. But it's one of those, if you like his other movies, you'll like Valerian. It's fun. It's good adventure sci-fi. Beautiful. I did watch it in English with Norwegian subtitles. And I have a question, though. You did see it, right?
No.
There's the beginning of the movie where the aliens are talking, and it was subtitled in Norwegian. And I'm like, I don't know if they were saying anything that would have been subtitled in English.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know if you guys are in the chat watching. So I'm like, I didn't even look it up later, but it was done. Even if it was, I understood the beginning of the movie without anybody talking. So like,
yeah,
something that I know what they were saying. So that was, I thought that was kind of cool actually. Cause you understood what was happening without knowing what was being said. So I think that's a good testament of filmmaking. Yeah. And yeah, visually gorgeous. Some things in the story were a little bit like meh, and I wanted to like the main two characters more and I didn't. And I don't really know why, but that was okay. It was one of those, like, eh, once you got past that point. So that was a great movie experience there. I saw Atomic Blonde, which I wish I could have seen that in Berlin, because that would have been funny because it's set in Berlin, but didn't. But it was so cool to watch it after I went to the places. I'm like, I went by Checkpoint Charlie. I went by the wall, and, like, we went, they did the tour where they showed you where the, like, kind of no man's land was and how far it would be to cross that and everything. And so you're like, this is so cool.
I saw Dunkirk and Atomic Blonde on my trip as well. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I should like Atomic Blonde more, and I didn't.
I thought it was fun. No?
I felt like I wanted to like it more, and I just came away going like...
Did your expectations just go too high?
Maybe. I mean, because when you think about it, it's like one of the directors from the first John Wick film. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen like the initial trailers, like, all right, this is going to be really cool. And then I was just like, it's fine.
I thought it was good. I was good with the violence because somebody didn't like how much like violence it had, but I believed her as a fighter. Unlike Salt, like, I love Angelina Jolie as fighter movie stuff like Tomb Raider. I'm like, great, that body, I could believe you fighting. Salt, she's a skinny little twig that I'm like, I don't believe you could take down an adult male. But in Atomic Blonde, the way she fights, I go, oh yeah, I believe she could beat her adversaries.
Yeah.
Or she gets hurt, and you go, I believe that too.
A lot of those ice baths there.
Yes. Oh, I just like cringe. One friend pointed out, and I was like, oh, that's a good point, is they really loved, and so film term for you folks, the diegetic and non-diegetic sound. So pretty much the sound the characters hear to what we hear switches very well within the movie. Like, it'll be the soundtrack, and then it'll go to a radio. So that means that's like the switch. And I thought that movie did an amazing job of that. Nice. Like, soundtrack was so good. Sorry, we all look at the chat.
Yeah, I agree with that. Alvin and Zaya, so they agree with me. Yes. You know. Sorry.
Alvin said, too involved for the type of movie it was. Okay, yeah. I thought it was fun. Sky says, Atomic Blonde should have been better. Script issues. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was cool. I also, way back when, or a movie from, I finally saw Hidden Figures, which I did enjoy that a lot. Saw that in the plane on the way out. So that was very fun. I think that was all the movies I saw.
Yeah,
I started Magnificent Seven and I got too tired.
Ah, yes, I still have to watch that too. Speaking of films, though, that they'd be like,
yes. Well,
mm-hmm. Amy, we know we test you with your, to kind of get an idea of like where your movie tastes lie.
Mm-hmm.
Just to task you with your top five.
Top five.
Yeah. Okay. So here, okay. First, these change pretty frequently. My top two do not.
Ooh, all right. Okay. I have a permanent lock on your heart.
So there pretty is a much. Five. Your five is in order.
Kind of.
I can't do that. I'm impressed.
Kind of. Because here's the thing. I love really all kinds of movies.
Okay.
Scary, sci-fi, romantic comedies, just everything. So it just depends on the mood I'm feeling, you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, so here it goes. One Fine Day.
Okay.
Have you guys...
Was that George Clooney and...
Yes.
and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I have a lot of memories attached to certain movies, and once those memories are locked in there, it's just like, it's home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just, I remember waking up as a kid, I have flat feet, so I used to have horrible pains on, like, the top of my foot, and I'd wake up with awful pains, and my mom would always just, like, put icy hot, whatever, I don't know. Some mom magical stuff, and we'd watch One Fine Day because for some freaking reason it would always be on TV. So One Fine Day was it. That was my go-to movie. So when I feel sick or I just don't feel good, I watch One Fine Day. Definitely worth a watch, guys. If you've never heard of it, it's amazing. Mae Whitman is actually a little kid in it. Mae Whitman is Parenthood. She also was in
Scott Pilgrim. Girl.
Mm-hmm. yeah And she showed up a little bit in Gilmore Girls.
And she's also in Cloverfield.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield Lane.
She's amazing. I actually met her once in person. I took a picture.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you tell her about One Fine Day?
No, it was so fast. She's like, oh, picture. Oh, okay.
One Fine Day makes my feet feel better.
I see, I should have said that. Next, When Harry Met Sally.
Ah, okay. That's a good solid film.
Yeah. I'm a huge rom-com fan.
Okay.
Just love them. Love Meg Ryan. Billy Crystal. His voice just makes me feel at home just because of Monsters, Inc. And just, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next, I actually didn't write it down, but You've Got Mail. So it's the top three.
Wow.
You've Got Mail because...
Who do you like better with Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks or Billy Crystal?
Tom Hanks.
I'm with you.
That was a quick answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Tom Hanks. So Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep are up there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huge fans of them. They're just freaking talented, and I'm just... But yeah, You've Got Mail is amazing. It's just one of my go-tos for sure.
What about Sleepless in Seattle?
Sleepless in Seattle is really nice. Not as good, but it certainly is up there too.
Okay.
What do you think is it about the two of those films that make You Got Mail stand out?
Yeah.
Sleepless in Seattle is great if you want to watch a movie that moves kind of slowly.
That's what I like. bore me for a while.
It's sweet. Like, it's a September night when it's a little bit chilly outside and you're having some coffee and you want to chill out. That's the best time to watch Sleepless in Seattle.
If you want, very specific. I like
it. Yeah, in September, it just so happens to be next month. So,
there you go.
Hey.
Albin, get ready. Start putting on Sleepless in Seattle. I know you're not excited about this current film slate.
Oh my gosh, guys. When Harry Met Sally. Oh, Sarah Brock said, When Harry Met Sally is my all-time favorite movie, and You've Got Mail. Yes!
And Sky Patterson agrees with you, too.
You've Got Mail. Yes!
Shut up.
Yes, you guys. You've Got Mail. Yes, guys. Thank you. Okay, next, I'm going to change things up, so those are three.
Okay.
Oh, shoot. I put six. Okay.
That's fine. No worries.
Okay, cool.
Jinxies.
Zootopia.
Oh, okay. All right.
There is... so much. Okay, this is gonna sound really ridiculous what I'm about to say, but I identify so freaking much with Judy Hopps.
You came from a small little town to identify
in a way. With? Yeah, so I'm
parents are farmers.
Well, no, not that part. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and it is a rather large city, but I always knew growing up that I wasn't meant to stay there. And I'm obsessed with big cities like New York. I actually never thought I'd move here to LA, but I love this city. Like, I love big, crazy, loud cities with lots of energy. And, I mean, growing up, my mom was super supportive, but other people along the way, like my friends, because wanting to work in this industry is not a super normal thing, and people are like, really? You really want to do that? So it was always kind
of... Did they make that face?
Yeah. At least that's how I have it in my memories. So it was always rather weird, you know, telling them, like, yeah, I want to work in this industry. So not to prove them wrong, but to move out here and do this is just like, yeah. So Judy Hopps, hi. And then I'm also really short. So Judy Hopps is my homegirl. I love Harry Potter movies, like all of them, so that's just kind of a little bundle.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just all the Harry Potter ones. And I do really love Birds.
Like, Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So now, like, which one of these are your top two?
Well, it's not your top three.
Oh, so your top three.
Yeah, so One Fine Day, When Harry Met Sally, and You've Got Mail.
Oh, boom.
Just the gotcha. Just, yeah.
Okay.
But, right. I mean, I saw Spider-Man Homecoming. Dang, that was a good movie.
Yes.
I would not. Yes. I've seen that so many times.
Really?
Yeah, more so than like any other superhero film in a long time. It is like stuck with me.
So freaking good. Yeah. Oh, crap. Guardians of the Galaxy, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, my interest in movies is
hold on. Was that T as in T-O-O or number two?
Both.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah. If a movie makes me cry and makes me feel a lot of emotions, which I have a lot of emotions. What is that from Mean Girls? Like, I just have a lot of feelings. then I consider it important because I'm not a crybaby, but I kind of am when it comes to really good movies.
True.
So, yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, there's some really good scary movies I've seen. The Visit is by far the creepiest one for me.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. watch it. Just watch it. I don't want to say anything about it except that it just thinking about it too long gives me the creeps.
The Visit.
Yeah. And I.
Good old M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. It's okay. Good. It's good. And I had my husband and I, we binge watched kind of like a bunch of horror movies last October.
Mm.
And that I feel like I got a little bit numb to the like, woo, boo. You're like, you're scared. But The Visit still scared the crap out of me. So that's why that one's up there.
You've broken a lot of people's hearts by saying husband in there. I'm going to tell you that.
I'm sorry, guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We got a little.
They might have slid by. You got to point it out, dude.
Trust me, this crew here inside the chat room, ears like hawks.
Hey, real quick, guys. Here's a pro tip for finding out what your favorite movies are.
Okay.
There's a website called flickchart.com, and I am in no way affiliated with the website.
Okay.
But
you were wearing a Flickchart shirt earlier.
Yeah.
Hush yourself, Frank.
Oh, sorry.
Compose yourself.
Yeah.
It puts one movie against another movie, just at random. So it could be like The Fellowship of the Ring versus like The Room. And you have to pick which one you think is better.
Okay.
But it also could be like The Fellowship of the Ring versus like You Got Mail. And then you have to figure out which one you like better, and it puts you through a gauntlet of these movies. And then it just keeps a record. It keeps track of all the movies that you think are better than other movies. So right now, I can tell you definitively what, like, my top 1,000 movies are ranked in order.
That's cool.
Because it keeps comparing movie to movie, and then it keeps putting them up on the list. Okay. It's a really cool website. I recommend checking it out. And if you do, maybe next time we can talk about our top fives.
Oh, all right. That sounds like a good idea.
I'm curious if it matches up with what you think you're
It's really, yeah, it's really interesting.
That sounds
so,
like
for
a
instance,
fun game.
My number one movie, I can't get rid of it, is, and not that I want to, but is Star Wars A New Hope.
Interesting.
Wow. I thought that was really interesting because I'm like, I wouldn't really think that would be my favorite movie, but I can't, whenever I rank it against something, it always beats it. So I that must be my favorite movie.
Okay. I want to do this before next week. We're all going to
do that,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, flickchart.com. And people in the chat, you check it out, too. We can all get together and talk about our top fives.
Sweet.
We're getting ready to close the wrap up, so we're going to rapid fire what we think next week's top five is going to look at. As I mentioned, we've got Birth of the Dragon and Leap entering into the fray. Again, 1,500 screens for Birth of the Dragon and 2,000 screens for Leap. Do we think that any of those are going to dethrone our current top five? Our lowest being The Nutjob 2 at a little over $5 million.
Sure.
Sure?
Sure.
What do you think's got a shot?
Birth of the Dragon, maybe, might kick out Nutjob 2.
I feel, even though Leap hasn't had, I don't know how well their advertising has been, but I remember seeing posters for it and I saw the end of an ad. Animated kids movies do well.
Yeah, but not everyone.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Not everyone.
Yeah.
I'm
Ken Jack says Leap, Hitman. What? You put Leap first. Okay,
Come on.
I'm not reading the rest of it.
No. I'm going to just say I feel like this top five is going to be pretty much similar. I'll throw it because I like the Bruce Lee film and I like the story that it's going to be telling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw that in as number five. Knocking off that job.
Yeah.
And then stay the same?
Yeah.
I think I agree. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it's going to change much at all. Yeah.
Amy?
Yeah. No, I think what you said.
All right. Look at this. Amy's already, you know, doing it right just by agreeing with me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Unless Neil has any counter.
No, I mean.
Yeah, we're all in.
Yeah. That's pretty much what's going to happen, I think.
All right. So then I'm assuming that, let's see, only
they
four votes so far.
For Leap.
They're all voting for Leap?
Yeah.
Oh, guys. Oh, man. All right. Looks like we're doing Leap, everybody.
We all think it's not going to make it. So.
No, we don't think it's going to make the top five, which right now currently stands a little over $5 million.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So Leap, animated film from the Weinstein Company, 2,000 screens. We're not going to do our box office bet. And of course, if you've been away with us while we've gone on hiatus or you're just new joining, the way the box office bet works is that we're all going to take a film voted by you in the chat room. And we're all going to guess what the opening box office weekend gross is going to be. The person that gets closest to that is the prognosticator of prognosticators. They get bragging rights for the week. The person that's farthest away will have to go see this film and tell us all about it. Oh, boy. All right. So, again, as we think that's not even going to crack the top five, it was just sterling at $5 million. All right, so we'll all enter on our handy dandy calculators what we think this total is going to be.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You can either write it down or put it on your phone.
Yes, whatever you think.
You actually have paper.
Okay.
Because then that way, because someone pointed out that we can't change our answers, and we all just hold up the answers. So for people who are listening, we all type this on our phones or paper, and then show it all up at the same time so nobody can adjust answers. We used to do a little more Price is Right style and go down the line, which people are like, this is not how you do it. I'm like, that's how you play Price is Right. You can jump your number. You can change your number later.
Oh, man, this is okay. All right.
Whoa.
All right.
I don't what? Know. People are saying 10 and 15. Okay, you guys are just being funny.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Courtney, 15. Sorry, we should say our numbers before we see more.
$15 million for Leap. Oh, boy.
You ready? Okay. I got a number.
Neil, are you ready to go, sir?
I'm all set, buddy.
All right. Neil, what do you have there in the nice air-conditioned engineering booth?
I'm relaxed and calm and just I'm very comfortable here, Frank. And I don't know what they're saying about 15, but I was thinking more like 6.
Ooh, all right. Okay. All right. Amy, Carrie?
$2 million.
Oh. Wow. I went 4.7. 4.8. Ah, 4.875.
All
right.
4.8 next time. I like, she put all the zeros. I'm all 2. All right. Emmanuel agrees closer to me, like 3. All right.
All right. This will be interesting. All right. It's been a while since we've had an extra person here to kind of switch up the dynamic of this. This is exciting.
Our numbers are all over the place.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down.
So, yes. So, Carrie Lane going in at a low 2, Neil at a high 6, myself at 4.7, and Amy at 4.875. Now, of course, Neil, you're going to be gone for 2 weeks on your honeymoon. So, you know, if you lose, you know, we're expecting you to take time out of your honeymoon to go and see this film.
Oh, my. That's Scout's honor, Frank. Definitely gonna do it.
Yeah. And that Ken Jack, you guys are underestimating. I don't know.
Okay.
We've had somewhere we went so high. And it was like, nope.
No. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. You know, things are changing. We've got, you know, Amy here. Things are going to be changing even more the next few weeks, too, as well. We're going to keep you up to date.
Stay tuned.
Yes. Yes. It's going to be exciting here. But as always, folks, thanks for joining us there in the chat. Mm-hmm. So great to have you back. We've missed you probably way more than you've missed us. I'm sure you've missed Carrie tremendously. Amy, you just met her and you already miss her. Me, I know you didn't care about it at all. And that's fine. But as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And despite what Sarah Brock says, you know what? Just give us as many thumbs up as you humanly possibly can. Aww. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Amy, where can they find you?
On Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV and AmyCassandra.com.
Awesome. And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And stay tuned because I took a bunch of videos while I was abroad. I'll be posting those. They're all like kind of mini travel excursion video things.
Ooh, how exciting. And Neil Plumley, how about yourself?
You can find me on everywhere on the internet at The Neil Plumley, THENEILPLUMLEY. And people noticed it in the chat, and they're right. I still do need to see a couple of movies, Girls Trip and War for Planet of the Apes. Ooh. I still have to watch those because of the box office bet. I promise I will soon if I can. It's just, yeah, I'm sure you guys understand. It's been crazy for me, but I'm really trying.
I will tell you, I never sweated it out more than the Girls Trip weekend results. It was a squeaker. I was so glad. I was so scared I was going to go see that film. But ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram if you so choose. I'm not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. At Happy Go Jackie. Until next weekend, folks, we'll see you back here for another hot episode of Box Office Breakdown right here on Popcorn Talk.
See ya.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.